If you would, and grab your Bibles, and let's dive into our series that we've been doing, and now carrying into the holiday season. We're going to kind of wrap up this series, if God allows us to, on mind wars that we've been looking at for a while. And today we're going to talk about this, and it's how to win this war. You know, we're going to start in a shift of how do I settle my mind? How do I make my mind mind? How do I get it to behave and to be the way that it's supposed to be, thinking the things that it's supposed to think? And so please write this down and don't forget it. You cannot win the mind wars that you're going to go through without faith. You can't do it. Matter of fact, in Hebrews, we find in chapter number 11, in verse number 6, these words where it says, it's impossible to please God without faith. In other words, hey, you want to be settled, you want to be successful, you want to be at peace, you want to have love, you want to have all these things that your heart desires, you want to live in that comfort of knowing that life is okay, that this is going to work out, that everything's going to be good. Know this, it's impossible to get there if you don't believe in God. It says anyone who wants to come to Him must, number one, believe that He exists, and number two, believe that He rewards those that sincerely seek Him. In other words, it's saying this, you got to believe that God is God. Now, you may say in your mind, God is God, but that does not mean that you believe it in your heart. You may say that God is the only God, but that doesn't mean that that is the truth when it comes to the way you live or the way that I live. We may proclaim Him on a Sunday that He is good, but we may live as if He doesn't exist on Monday through Saturday. There's got to be an understanding that you do not believe it just because you proclaim it. You believe it when you put it into practice in your life. And He's saying, hey, you got to believe that God exists, and you got to believe that God keeps His promises. That God's going to reward those who are literally seeking Him with their lives. Matter of fact, in Joshua, we find that if we study the Word of God, if we obey the Word of God, then everything we do finds success and prosperity. We find throughout the Scriptures in Jesus' teaching that the only way that you and I are going to live the successful life that God has for us is to live through God's Word and live in obedience to God. And if we're not living our faith, then we have no faith. Faith without works is dead. Just because you're here today doesn't mean you're saved. All right? Just because somebody told you that you were okay doesn't mean you are. And just because you can pretend doesn't make you all right on the inside. We got to realize that it goes beyond our capabilities. It goes beyond who we are. And no better person to illustrate that than Mary and Joseph. And if you go to Luke chapter number 1 and you begin reading the story of where the angel appeared to Mary, it says this in verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village of Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. Can I just tell you this? That is the same greeting God had for Gideon, the same greeting that God has for you. You are highly favored. God has looked on you and He has seen that you are worthy through Jesus Christ to receive the authority of God and the power of God in your life. And that's what that is saying to Mary. Mary, you are deemed worthy to do what we're about to call you to do. And you may be sitting here saying, well, I'm not worthy. Then you do not know God for who God is. Because God does not qualify you based on you. He qualifies you based on the plan He laid out for you long before you ever took your first breath. And you and I may sway from the plan, but God will do everything in His power to restore us back, to bring us back to the original intention of why He created you and I. And He looks at Mary and He says, you're going to have a baby. All right? And that baby is going to be the Son of God. And she asked the question that I think any virgin would ask. How is that possible? I mean, how does this even work? I've never even been with a man. He says, the power of God's going to come on you. The Holy Spirit and God's power is going to make this happen. Can you imagine Joseph going down the street and saying, well, how do you know that baby is not somebody else's? How do you know she didn't just sleep with somebody else? And Joseph's only answer being able to say, well, I had a dream about an angel who told me. I mean, you don't say stuff like that if you don't have a faith in God. Now, I'm gonna say this, just in case you're going to try it. There's no more virgin births going to happen. All right. Now, you can probably not be with a man and have implantation and all that other stuff. But let's just be real. Yeah, that excuse is gone. So I don't think God's ever going to call anybody in here to step out into the world and say, I'm pregnant and it's the Son of God. That's already been done. But I will say this. I don't know if anybody has ever been called to such a statement of faith. I mean, think about the ridicule that comes with that statement. I'm carrying a baby. Number one, I'm a virgin, okay, dude's lost her mind. And then number two, it's the Son of God. Now she's a jerk. I mean, who do you think you are that you can claim to be carrying the Son of God? Well, I'm not giving birth to him today through any kind of physical means, but I can give birth to him into your life today through verbal means. And I too, like Mary, can stand and say today that I carry the Son of God with me. And that doesn't mean that I'm arrogant. It doesn't mean that I have pride. And if you were to stand and proclaim it too, it doesn't mean that you are arrogant or that you have pride. It simply means that you are a believer and have faith that God loves us enough to give us his son, just like he loved Mary enough for her to carry. And now, no, we don't have to go through the spectacular thing, but I can tell you this, you can be born again through the Savior that lives in me, and I can make that known to you today, just like Mary made it known in her generation that she was touched by God. I too have been touched. Anybody else like that? All right, you're saying, are you pregnant? I may look like it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I am a child of God. Any other children of God in the place today that is proud to be a child of God? Hey, so in there, we see that, hey, it takes faith to be able to make that proclamation because I'm just a person. Mary would say, I'm just a virgin. And you may say, well, you don't know who I am. Good news, God is not looking at you telling you what you have been and what you are. God is here today to tell you what you could be if you would simply let him be who he is in your life. And so in this, let's look. If you would, flip your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter number 11. If we're going to talk about faith, we cannot do it justice without going to what we consider the hall of faith in the Bible. So here's Mary, and she ends this passage by saying, be it done to me according to as you said, whatever you've said, I'll do. And that's where we're going to end today. If we're going to win the mind wars at some point, I'll give you number 7 at the beginning. Ready? I've got to trust God even when it doesn't go my way. I've got to trust God even when it's not the way I planned, not the way I thought it should be, not the way I wanted it to be. I've got to get to a point in my life that says, whatever your will, I will take it. Whatever your desire, I will do it. And so let's look at this if you would. And let's take the illustrations of the Bible in order to build this faith that we need that will help us win these wars of our mind. Number one, we find in verse number 1, all right? One of the most famous verses when it comes to faith. It says, faith shows the reality of what we what? Hope for. You do not hope for something you already have. All right? Please understand this. You do not need to hope that Jesus is with you. You already got that if you're a child of God. You don't need to hope that God hears your prayers. You need to be confident that God hears your prayers. Why? Because you've got that promise that God has already given you. Hope is saying, okay, God, I'm going to believe even when I can't see. I'm going to believe it even though I can't see it. I'm going to trust it even though I can't physically lay eyes or fingers on it. See, faith isn't building your life on something you can control or building your life on something you can figure out. Faith is saying, okay, God, you've declared yourself God, and I will believe you are God even though I've never physically seen you. I may have been able to physically see you through others, but when it comes to your presence, I know you are there even though I can't see or feel you physically there. See, we need people that say, okay, God, I believe it even though I haven't seen it yet. Matter of fact, let me give you an example. An architect has faith in the building before he builds it. He sees it before it becomes reality. An artist sees the painting finished most times. Some artists are really good. They can just start throwing stuff and then they create as they go. But most times see what they're going to paint before it's ever even painted. A musician hears the song before they even write it. And in there, I wanted to tell you this. You are going through life in a world that is basing everything on what they say is real. Realism. You know, logic. And I'm going to tell you this. Logic, knowledge can get you so far, but it leaves you high and dry. You and I have to have wisdom. And wisdom is the knowledge that can only come from God. Why? Because there's only so far logic can take you. How many of you have ever heard street smart and book smart? Okay. So book smart means that you can know everything the book says and still be stupid when it comes to the way that you live. And I apologize for calling you stupid. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is this. You can know what the law is and not be able to do it because you have no street skills. All right. Street smarts are the things you've learned through experience. How many of you have learned more through experiences than you learned through school? Will you slip your hand up? All right, there we go. Now go to school. That's not what we're saying. Kids are like, Mom, you just raised your hand. I'm not going. No, go to school. You need book smarts. All right, but I'm going to tell you this now. The Bible says don't just be book smart when it comes to God's word. Don't be just a hearer. You need some street smarts. Be a doer. Put it into action. And you know what faith says? Faith says, I will put it into action even though I haven't seen it yet, because I can see that you are worthy, God, that you are capable, and what your promises are better than what my dreams could ever be. And so in there, we have got to get to a place where we see it and we believe it, not because we physically see it, but we spiritually believe it's possible. So with that, can I write this down? And can you put it in your notes? Your son is still able to be reached by God. Your drug addicted cousin is still able to be reached by God. Your sexually perverted friend is still able to be reached by God. And we need a world that stops seeing people for where they are and starts seeing people for who Jesus is and what they could be with Jesus in their life. You know, a person that has no faith will give up when they don't get the results they want. A person that has no faith will give up on people, will give up on society, will give up on a nation, will give up on each other, will give up on themselves. But someone with faith says, I believe, I'm not going to wait till God gives it to me or God shows it to me. I'm going to pursue, knowing that one day what I have hoped for will become real in my life. I don't have to see it to believe it, but because I believe it, one day I will see it. It says it's the evidence of the things we can't not see. And I there's some things in my life that I just believe God is going to do. Anybody else got that? You know, I do still imagine conversations with my son, and one day it will happen. Now, I can't tell you when. I can't tell you how. And some people say, well, what if he never? We're not going to use that kind of talk. We are going to know this, that our nonverbal son is limited by something that is made of this earth, but there is a God who is the creator of all, and I do believe in him, and I know that by Jesus' wounds we are healed, that God has given knowledge and wisdom to others. Say what you want to say. One day we will prove the doubters wrong in Jesus' name as God comes through in his life. I will believe it with my dying breath because I believe that God is faithful and he is creating a story that you and I could not script. He's creating a dialogue that you and I could not make. And one day, the voice that had no words will be able to proclaim Jesus louder and more bolder than I ever was, as that voice is restored and renewed by God. I'm going to believe that, and you're not going to take it from me. You and I need to have some belief that says, I am not there yet, but God is taking me there. I have not got it yet, but God is leading me there. He leads me by the still waters. He leads me to green pastures. You may not be able to see the green pastures of your life, but they do exist. You say, well, where are they? They could be right where you are. You just may be in a cultivating season instead of a harvest season. And if you'll just stay faithful to God, then God will prove himself to you. And so I can look back in my life with 20/20 vision, and I can see the things where God has come through before. And if I can see where God has been, then let me just believe that God is where I have never been and is taking me there. And I will trust in the process. That needs to be the statement of our lives. Mary would say, all right, done. I'm pregnant. Here we go. Let's throw a baby shower because you said it. I believe it. And in 9 months, we'll see it. The problem is a lot of times we want to see it first. Am I right? Prove it. You know, by the way, can I tell you this? Stop asking somebody to prove their love. All right? Stop waiting on them to show proof of their love, to give love back, or to open your heart to love. You sometimes got to believe it's there even when you can't see it. Matter of fact, let me just put it this way. God loves you right now even if you don't feel it. God loves you right now even if you don't feel worthy of it. God loves you right now, no matter how you feel or no matter what you see. God's love is real. You don't have to see it for it to be the reality. That brings us to number two. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. Not only do I need to believe it before I see it, I need to obey it even if I don't understand it. Look at these two verses. We get Noah and Abraham. Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. Granted, if you go back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapters 1, 2, you find that the Bible says that the water came up from the ground and it watered and nurtured the plant. There was no rain, there was no flood. Can you imagine being the kids of Noah? What's your dad doing? Building a boat? Why is he building a boat? It's going to rain. What's rain? I mean, we've never seen it. We've never experienced it. But it says that he did a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God. Will you circle that? He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. Now listen to me. There is a time in our lives that God is going to bring something into revelation that doesn't feel right. Matter of fact, can you write this down? Obedience is risky. How many of you remember being kids and your parents saying, hey, do this or don't do this, and you had no idea why they were saying it? In your mind, it was crazy. It was the dumbest rule you'd ever heard in your life. It was the dumbest thing that they'd ever... How many of you remember that? Now, you are that parent, by the way, so that's how your kids look at you. But the reality is this. How many of you, after the fact, now that you're grown, look back and say, they were very wise in what they were saying. They were very smart in what they were doing. See, obedience takes risk. It says, okay, it doesn't make sense to me, I don't like it, but I'll do it because you told me to. In a land that never rained, I'll build a boat. And I'll build it large enough for two times every animal, and I will build it large enough for my family, and you said to do it this way, and I'm just going to do it. And you said to get on the boat, so I'm going to get on, and you have no guarantee other than the fact that God told you to build the boat. And some of you right now are in that stage of your life. You have no guarantee that you obeying God is going to work out other than His word. And God says, Noah, get on the boat. I guarantee you, when Noah got on the boat and all of a sudden they turn around and on its own, before the days of hit the button and doors open and close in your minivan, before you had all this technology, you know, all of a sudden the door starts rising and seals itself. That had to be a great moment for Noah. You know, hey, it's time to get on the boat. Dad, we've been doing this for years. This is dumb. Get on the boat. Not so dumb when you get on the boat and the rain starts falling from the sky like it's never fallen before. Can I tell you this? You're going to go through seasons of your life, and so am I, that we have never gone through before. We're going to experience areas of our lives that we have never experienced before. And it is not going to make sense, but being obedient is what's going to rescue you from the trials to come. What's going to rescue you from the tribulations around you. It's what's going to keep you safe when the world comes up against you. Matter of fact, if you've read any of Revelations, you know that this world is coming to an end. And you say, well, I don't even believe that. Well, then watch the news. The news even believes that this world is going to come to an end. They call it global warming. They believe that it's going to get worse and worse. So whether you believe in God or don't, it's coming to an end. But God built an ark. We call it the cross. And He made it available so that anybody can get on board and be saved from what is about to happen in this world. And you say, well, I don't know if I believe. Just be obedient. You may say, well, how does salvation work? I'm going to tell you this. Outside of God's word, I don't know. I don't understand it. God's son dying for the sins of the entire world? I mean, 3 days later, getting out of grave, and that saves me. I don't understand it, but you know what? I'm going to believe it and be obedient, and I'm going to confess Jesus as my Savior because I just believe God is God, and so therefore, I'm going to do what He says, even if I can't figure out every detail of it. And I'm going to tell some of you right now, stop trying to figure out your life or feel your way through life and be obedient to how God said to live your life. And watch what God will do through that faith. You cannot have faith without obedience. Matter of fact, if you look at the next verse, in verse number 8, it says Abraham was obedient. It says it was by faith Abraham obeyed God. Listen to me, moms and dads, I'd never go against you, but I'm going to go with the word of God. He obeyed God when God called him to what? Leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. There will come a time in every person's life. Teenagers, listen to me. College age, listen to me. Kids, if you're in here, listen to me. There will come a point in your life that you will have to choose God over your own family. You're going to have to choose what God says over than what your mom or your dad wants for your life. You know why? Because you will not stand before your mom and dad at the end of your life. You will stand before God. Your mom and dad cannot control your happiness, but God can lead you to those fields of happiness. Your mom and dad cannot figure out every one of your problems, but God has already created the solution to every attack you would ever experience in your life. Now, moms and dads, I am a mom and a dad. I mean, I'm not a mom. I got that, all right? I can see how it works. I'm a little emotional, but I get this. Understand, I am a parent. And those words scare me to my core. We went to Illinois for Thanksgiving. It was a quick trip, less than 30 hours there. But we ran up there real quick, and one of the reasons is it may be the last time they have that Thanksgiving there. By this time next year, my in-laws may live here, which means the 50-something plus family members that they get around the table with, you know, and me and my wife, we normally do Christmas up there, and we do Thanksgiving in Chattanooga, but this year we're doing Christmas here for the first time, and so we decided, my wife looked at me and said, can we go home for Thanksgiving? We have not done that in 9 years, and I said, sure, and you know, sitting around that table, my mother-in-law came in and she said, now we're not doing Christmas at my house this year to her entire family. You know, in my heart, there's a little bit of excitement, but then I realized I am the most hated guy in the room because the only reason that is I married her daughter and moved her to Tennessee and then her brother followed. And now all of her children and grandchildren are here. And all of her brothers and sisters, large family, and all her nieces and nephews are there. And so I just looked at her and I was like, I'm so sorry. But not sorry. Because I know I'm where God wants me to be. We've had opportunities to move there. We've been offered jobs in that area. And look, it would have solved every problem that we thought we had, monetarily, emotionally, our ability to be home with our son more, in his needs, every bit of our problems in our mindset would have been completely solved by making that move. But we would have totally messed up our lives solving our problems our way instead of following God's way for our life. And at your life and in my life too, there's going to be moments where it makes sense to us to do it one way. But God comes in saying, let's build a boat. Yeah. And we have to say, okay, we'll do what you say. All right, now listen. If someone in this room has somebody that's in this room come against what was just said, know that that person is not following God. If someone in this room has anybody in this room, I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your uncle, if they come to you and they say, no, you need to do what I say, when you know that God is calling you a different direction, I will say this to the top of my lungs, to the highest mountain peak, until it resonates through your ears. Always obey God. Don't for a moment sacrifice what God has for your life for the opinion of someone else. Don't do it. And so in there, let's move on. Not only do I have to obey, by the way, let me throw this out there. One of the things in obedience, just to give you an example of what God's going to ask you to do that's risky and not easy to do, is to forgive someone who's hurt you. That does not make sense, does it? But I'm going to guarantee you, your life will be more free with forgiveness being its anthem than it will ever be with bitterness being its boss. So at some point we step out, and number three, we look at this. We got to persist even when things are rough. In other words, I'm going to persist even when I do not feel like it. Look at verse number 27 of this chapter in Hebrews here. It says in verse number 27, it was by faith that Joseph did some things. Let's skip down. Let me go to 27, then we'll come back to 22. It says, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because, please remember this, he kept his eyes on the one who was what? Invisible. There's times in my life that I have to do what needs to be done even when I don't feel like it, such as get out of bed some mornings. Am I right? Yesterday was a rainy day. It's a stormy day. What did you want to do all day yesterday? Sleep? Stay at home? Anybody else see a good opportunity for some Christmas movies and snuggles? All right, let's not talk about football today. All right, I heard it. Some of us are in mourning. All right, understand this. Listen, somebody take Timmy out, please. No, I mean, some days it's hard to get motivated. You know what? But an Olympian, Olympics, somebody that's an athlete, they run and train even when they don't feel like training. They do what they need to do even when they don't feel like it. How do they do that? They keep their eyes on the goal. The invisible one. Paul said, I press towards a mark. It wasn't an X somewhere on a map that he needed to trace out and follow. It was a goal that God had set for his life, a promise that he was going to pursue. It was a confidence that he was going to live through, and he was not going to sway. It said Moses was able to do what God wanted him to do because he went against his feelings. He did not fear. Instead, he persisted. The only time you see Moses make a mistake in the leading the children out of Israel was when he trusted his feelings. He became emotional and hit a rock the second time when he wasn't supposed to, and it messed everything up. All right, I don't know how many times we need to hear it, but we need to hear it until we believe it. You cannot build your life on your feelings. God will call you to do things that don't feel right sometimes. They feel out of the box. God will have you testify in the middle of a movie theater. God will have you turn around in the middle of a Walmart. God will have you do things that go against the way that you feel is right. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it's destruction. There is something that we need to get today, and it needs to be a fixed view of an invisible God, knowing that God is going to prove himself true. So when it's hard, I'll persist. When it's hard to get up, I will go. When it's hard to speak up, I will speak. When no one else is singing, I will sing. And in the quietness of stillness, I will scream the praises of God. Whatever he calls me to do, I'm going to persist even when I don't feel like doing it. I'm going to step out even when I don't know what God is doing. Matter of fact, would you write it down? There's more to believe in than what you can see. Matter of fact, the only thing worth believing in is not visible. We live in a spiritual world while in physical bodies. This is not a physical world. It's a spiritual world. You say, well, look at everything that's around. Let me tell you about everything that's around. It won't last. Whether it's a building, whether it's your body, whether it's your life. I was reading something that was posted by one of our college age kids this morning by Steve Jobs, his last words, some of his last words. As for those of you that don't know him, he was a billionaire, big in Apple and all these things. And he said, you can hire someone to drive your car. You can pay someone to watch your things, but you cannot rent someone to carry your disease. And he said, and at the end of the day, and I'm going to paraphrase, when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter what you can pay for. It doesn't matter what you spent your life doing. It's worthless. You can't add a minute to your life. I mean, but God can add an eternity. And you and I say, well, this is what I live for. I live for my family. I live for my church. I live for my children. Well, your family, your church, and your children is not going to live forever, but the soul of your family will. The soul of your children will. And sometimes we get into this mindset to where we build our faith on what we can control, what we can touch, what we can feel, what emotions we have, when faith has to be built on this fact that says, I will do whatever I need to do, even when I don't have the feelings, even when I don't have sight of the end, even when I can't see the change. I will go with God. I will go anyway. Love bears all, believes all, hopes all, endures all. Hey, love never fails. Love never gives up. Love, it abides forever. And so in there, I gotta love when it's hard to love. Yeah, I gotta go when it's hard to go. I gotta do when it's hard to do. That leads us to number four. I gotta announce it if I want to experience it. That's where we're gonna go to verse number 22. It says, it was by faith Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently, please circle that, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. Not that, hey, we're leaving today. You will leave Egypt someday. He was so confident in it. I like this next statement. He told them to take his bones. He knew that he wouldn't be alive to see it. And he says, hey, I know that you're not going to stay in this country. You're going to go home. I know. In other words, I know you will be restored. And here, do me a favor. When you're going home, carry my bones. I'm going with you. I mean, something happens in our lives when we realize that our tongue has both life and death-giving powers. Matter of fact, if you don't believe that, Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, he says, the tongue can bring what? Death or life. And those who love to talk will reap the consequences. In other words, you and I, what we're speaking, it's going to bring reality to it. I mean, you want a divorce? Talk about it. You don't want one? Stop talking about it. Hey, you want to see life get better? Start talking to where you're going instead of talking to where you're at. Matter of fact, write it down this way. What you say does affect the quality of your life. You don't believe that, you backtalk your mama later. If you don't believe that, be sarcastic to your wife. In spite. See how that works out. It will affect the quality of your life. Even the Bible, the most wise man that ever lived, says this. Paraphrasing. There's nothing scarier than a mad woman. Am I right? Proverbs, get on the housetop. And if she gets up there, to be continued, jump. I mean, no, literally. No, I'm just playing. I'm not adding to or taking away. But if mama's mad, everybody's sad. I would rather my dad spank me growing up than my mama. I heard, I forget the comedian's name, and it is true, that my mom became a rapper when she was spanking me. Anybody else have that problem? I told you, you would not. Like, where'd you get your rhythm? This got wore out, you know? That's it. Yeah, you're not going to do. It's like, I got it. I got it 3 licks in. Now, granted, I'm not talking to be abusive, but I am simply saying this. A lot of times we say things and then we have to live with the consequences and we want people to forget what we said. They don't. A lot of times we say things. Can I tell you, as someone that sometimes interviews people and looks at people that would be good for the ministry that God's calling them to, a lot of times it's what they say and what they do with what they say that determines whether or not they're hireable. If somebody, have you ever gone to an interview where somebody comes in, that matter of fact, a college coach just recently did this, went and interviewed for a job, and he had the job, but by the end of the interview, they would not hire him because of the demands he had in the interview. He's working for a school that has to play bigger schools just to get money to run their athletic programs and demanded a private jet. And they gave him a jet out of there. You know, you're done. They sent him home. Why? He opened his mouth and it ruined everything. You know, the Bible says that people will think you're smart just by keeping your mouth shut. It also says in Proverbs that some people open their mouth and they ruin everything. I am glad that the Bible doesn't spend all its time telling us how bad we are, but instead tells us what we could be if we just let Jesus Christ be Jesus in our lives. And in here, we've got to get to a point to where we stop saying things. There is life-giving power. Even Jesus wrote it this way. He said, hey, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Hey, what you loose or permit here is permitted in heaven. Your power is in your words. You say, well, I still don't believe it. Even God created a universe with his words. Your words have creative powers. Matter of fact, Psalms chapter number 33, verse number 6, we see where it says that God, the Lord, merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. Your words have created power. Why? Because your breath came from a God whose breath has creative power. You want to see somebody come alive, use your words to bring them to life. Start announcing it before it gets there. Start believing and saying, okay, I will not love you based on my feelings. I will love you based on where we're going to be in this relationship someday. You say, I don't like where I am. Start talking about the day that is to come. Start talking about what's ahead. Everything you've seen at Grace Community Church was announced before it ever was even possible. We wrote words down on paper and put them out, the visions and dreams God had given us for Grace Community Church. And what I have found is even in announcing it in faith, I was still so short because what I thought would be great, God has already accomplished. What I thought would take a lifetime has already happened. In a lot of areas, are there still things to come? Yes, but I will keep announcing the goodness of God even when life gets hard. I will keep announcing the greatness of God even when I don't understand. I will announce that all things work together for good even when I'm feeling low and bad. Hey, it takes faith to stand and say, I believe that God will because his promises are true. And I believe that words are important. Matter of fact, if you don't believe words are important, where would you be without them? I'm going to tell you this. I see and hear how some of you talk to your children. And it breaks my heart. Coming from a home where conversations with children do not happen. I would give anything to have my little one run up to me and say, I love you. And I have seen some of your littles run up and say they loved you. And you act like they didn't even say anything at all. Are you with me? There was a mom and a dad in this church that I spent time messaging on Thanksgiving because it was their son's birthday. It's a holiday, and he is no longer with us. He died tragically just a few years ago. She said, all I want to do is hug him. And that mom oftentimes tells me how bothered she is by the way she hears people talk to their kids. Take the words out of your home and you don't have much of a life. Take the words out of the books and you don't have much knowledge. Take the word of God and you have no hope. Words matter. We are everything we are today built on words. Whether they be our own or somebody else's. And today your children are building their lives on your words. Your marriage is being built on your words. This church and ministry is being built on our words. The words are a reflection of where the works will be. And if there is no praise of God, there will be no service for God either. If there is no acknowledgement of God, there will be no dedication to God either. If there is no proclamation of God, there'll be no belief that God can either. Our words need to get in line with our faith. And what we speak is truly what we believe in. Everybody has faith. Most just have faith in the wrong things. Matter of fact, I've heard it said it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a believer. I don't have enough faith to believe that this world just happened by chance. You say, well, what about the Big Bang? I do believe in the Big Bang. God's words hit a blank slate and it collided with nothing and exploded into light and darkness, into everything that we've ever seen. The bang came when God's breath hit a universe. And in there, I understand his words are the reason I have life. Jesus even declared himself the Word. John even wrote it in 1 John, in the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were created through him, and without him, the Word, there was nothing made. Hey, can I say it again? Without the Word. That word representing truth. That word representing principles and morals and honesty and integrity. That word representing values. Without the Word, nothing was made. And without you and I having the right words being announced in our lives, then don't be surprised when nothing is made, when all we have is complaint in our hearts. Even the children of Israel were called to use their words at Jericho, and they praised God in advance. They announced it before, and after they praised him, the walls came down. After they worshiped, after they were obedient, after they marched, the walls of Jericho fell. I mean, what are you speaking into your life today? One more thing, because I already gave you number 7. Let me give you number 6. Faith is giving when I don't have it to give. Can I say that? Faith is giving when I don't have it to give. Hebrews 11, verse number 4. One of the first people to make the Hall of Fame in the Bible, Hall of Faith, if you want to be literal, is Abel. And it says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man and showed his approval of his gifts. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Can I tell you this? Please write it down. God is not interested in how much you give. He's interested in how you give it. There's two ways we give. We give based on resource, where we sit down and realize what we're capable of. Or by revelation, when God lays it on our heart and we step into faith and hand it out. Can I put this into your heart? I know we don't like to hear about tithing in the church only because we don't like to do it. But understand this, that God will use your resources to test your faith. God will see how much you truly trust him by your willingness and ability to give. And if you and I do not have a willingness to give, then we do not have the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Can I say it again? If you are not a giver, I'm not saying you don't have Jesus. I'm just saying you're not like him. He was a giver. And so is God. Now you say you're trying to boost the offerings. Now Betty hates this. Our treasurers hate this. I am not. I would rather you give it somewhere else than to give it here, if that's what you think. Don't give it here. I mean, there's good churches. Go give it to Piedmont, Shady Grove. Give it somewhere else. But give it good. Give it gratefully. Give it happily. And make thanksgiving the lead of your heart desire. And when you give, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. And I'm going to tell you right now that the Bible will prove true. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You're in a holiday season. This is a time where some realize how much they have, while others realize how much they don't have. I have asked, and I didn't do this for public, but I'm just going to make it known. I have asked my family not to get me anything. I do not, and I'm going to ask you to do the same. I don't want gifts for Christmas this year. And I'm not doing that because I'm trying to be super spiritual. But I look around my house and I realize I got a lot of stuff I need to get rid of. I mean, I got stuff in places that really I will never use. I got clothes I'll never wear, shoes that are dusty because they've just been sitting there. I have no wants. Definitely cannot consider them needs. But there are others who do. There are little children who will go to school in the same clothes after Christmas that they were wearing before, only to see everybody else in something new. There are people who cannot get to church today because they don't have a vehicle. Their only one broke down, and we're in pursuit of trying to get that. We're raising funds to try to start a ministry to where we provide good vehicles for families who cannot afford them. You say, oh, that's ridiculous. Maybe to someone with no faith. But I just believe God is so good. And I believe that the only way that the world is going to know that God is good is for the people that God has been good to be willing to be good to others. To give. Whether it be time, whether it be resource, whether it be just, you know, maybe a sacrifice. I'm not going to buy into this idea that, you can give up your Starbucks one time a week. No, you should have more faith than it takes than to sacrifice your McDonald's. No. I'm not going to ask you to give up anything. I'm just going to ask you to be faithful with what you've been given. And watch what God could do. I know for a fact that I am where I am today because God put givers in my life. And at times when I had nothing, people showed up. I mean, at times when I was down and out, God came through. You know how He came through? People became available for God to go through. And many times we have hit that moment where we didn't know what to do, and here comes a giver. When I became a child of God, I determined in my life that I was going to be that. I was going to be the people that would get in the way of others who were on a path of destruction. I was going to be the one that would show up when nobody else would, that would believe in someone that nobody else would believe in. That if I have it in my pocket to give and revelation comes and God says give it, that I would be obedient to do those things. And while I have not been perfect, it is one thing I am striving for. I want to go into eternity having been more of a giver than a taker. I do not want to stand before God and be told that all I did was take from Him. I want to stand before my Savior, hit my knees, and hear well done because I was willing to give for Him. And at some point of our lives, we need to realize that you can have faith, but you cannot have great faith if you do not give. And you know what's beautiful? Is it's not what you have faith in, it's in who you have your faith. In the world, it takes great amounts of money to accomplish certain things. Would you agree? But in the kingdom of God, it takes faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Because in God's kingdom, the faith is not based on your resource. It's based on who you believe in. And when I believe that God is able, then I become like Abel. And I step out and I say, okay, God, I'm available to do what you want me to do. So I'll be obedient. I'll believe it if I can't see it. I'll trust when I don't understand it. God, I will base it on what you're saying, so I'll persist. I will praise and announce in advance your glory even before I see it in my life. And I will give. Matter of fact, there's a verse that I want to close with. We love Him because what? Let's translate. We've been given the ability to love because God gave us the opportunity to be loved. And if the gospel's hid, it's hid to those that are lost. Because the ones who have been given the gospel are not willing to give the gospel. The ones who have been given the love are not willing to give the love. Racism lives where love is absent. Addiction thrives where love is absent. Poor decisions, bad choices, they become the normal where love is absent. We need some people to step into these voids and absences and bring the love of God. To swallow themselves and to believe in God enough that you make this life about Him and not about ourselves. So we'll say goodbye online, and I just want you